Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John Downing with me for Call from the Dáil. John, a very good morning to you. We're very busy in Kerry this morning. We have the Taoiseach coming to Fexco in the RDI Hub. We have him going to Estelis later on. We have the President also in the county, in Ballybunion. Whether she has a troop of secretaries with her or not, I don't know.
But on that matter,
what do you think?
I tend to agree with you. I think the one thing that strikes me about it is these things come out inadvertently. We had the office of Uachtaráin na hÉireann turns over a queer budget. And if you cited already in your talking to the Taoiseach there, I was listening intentionally, a salary of 350,000 a year, totaling up to 2.4 million over the 7-year term already. But the thing that bugs me is that Michael D. Higgins, President Higgins, for example, was a paragon of freedom of information until he became Uachtaráin na hÉireann, and then he went very silent on the issue. And the office is not subject to freedom of information. And there's a lot of money being spent there, and I think it is taxpayers' money, and I think it's worth reflecting on. It is, yes, the Taoiseach argues, it is, in the greater scheme of things, small money. You sort of 60,000-70,000 a year in salary for a secretary, all right. But the whole idea kind of crept in when the peace process was very much on the go. Albert Reynolds was in demand to give his opinion, and there was a feeling that he needed to be linked in more closely with government policy to make sure that there was the same message was coming out of Dublin on the whole Northern peace process. That's my understanding of the origins of the principle.
That's to support Taoiseach. I don't think anyone would object to that. Taoiseach,
and I think there is a logic to that. I find this just a bit much. And you know, the Taoiseach there made it clear that Mary Robinson hasn't sought this. She hasn't been president since 1996, for pretty much 30 years. Mary McAleese hasn't sought this, so we're led to believe that Michael D. Higgins, in fact, is looking for this. You know, really, it is kind of much once more.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, John, housing, and we talked to the Taoiseach about housing as well. Completion numbers up 20%. On last year, still not at the number we were being told, or it was being implied in November 2024 for a turning the corner in the housing crisis scenario. Opposition pointing out they're still miles away from where they need to be.
Yes, and while it was an increase of 20%, huge relief, by the way, because there was a fear things might be going the other way. But an increase in 2025 of 20% over 2024. 2024, let's recall, was a rather poor year. Just over 30,000 houses built. Now this, the last year, 2025, in excess of 36,000. And the Taoiseach, everybody says, look, they have abandoned their own targets. They had set a target, for example, of 41,000 completions for 2025. It's somewhat shy of that, but they've abandoned the whole idea and now going for global targets for the years over a 5-year period. So, you know, news that could have been an awful lot worse for the government. I'd say, given how scarce good news is in housing, I think you'd probably classify this as good news.
Yeah.
But
and they're making changes, John.
Pardon?
They're making changes. They're making changes. As argued by the Taoiseach, they're making changes. They are doing things. They're intervening. 6-year tenancies. The 1st of March is a big day. Warnings this morning, or maybe you call it saber rattling, from the big house builders in the country saying this is interfering with property rights.
Yes.
It's not constitutional. And what did you make of what the Taoiseach said? It said, well, this is, you know, we're being told we're best buddies with the housing developers. This shows we're not. And him saying, look, they want radical change, and here they are complaining about it when it comes.
Yeah, I mean, let's recall the whole thing is an attempt to try and free up the housing market generally. I found the arguments absolutely extraordinary. No lawyer me, I hasten to add, but I spent an awful lot of time covering courts over the years, saying that it is in breach of the private property rights, saying that it is in breach of the European Convention on Human Rights. I mean, we have this argument for an awfully long time. There's a thing called the public good as well, and people's need to have affordable and accessible housing. So, I mean, their argument that there's sort of two chief arguments. One is that it will be extremely difficult to get together funding packages to convince investors and get banks to lend you money, because these changes and moves to six-year tenancies, moves to abolish no-fault evictions, that they will devalue the whole thing and make it very uncertain. And a further argument that changes to evictions will devalue property prices. Again, you know, quite extraordinary. And the Taoiseach arguing quite rightly there that when we try to do something to improve housing supply and free up things, and this is the type of reaction we get. It's not reasonable at all, but we shall see. I mean, in some respects, it would be worth seeing this thing being litigated to see just how private property rights square with the public good.
Yeah, an interesting one. We'll talk a bit more about that, John. We'll talk about the triple lock and St. Patrick's Day as well. That and more on the way on Calls from the Dáil after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Yeah, John, just before we leave the housing issue, I thought it was interesting that Taoiseach mentioned there about the population increase and this promise to speed up delivery of infrastructure to kind of catch up, or infrastructure is behind. He mentioned population increase and the pressures that's putting on the government. Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, did an interview this week, and he said, mentioned again, population increase, the level of legal migration coming into the country, and but also that not everyone in emergency housing has a right to be housed by the state. And they're going to clarify this by way of legislation. At the moment, it's a 50-50 split in emergency housing between Irish and non-Irish. What do you make of their language and their concentration on that fact?
Well, it reflects an increasing hardening of positions across Europe at the moment, and a similar attitude in Ireland. We've seen far more deportations under Jim O'Callaghan's watch at the Department of Justice. I think, finally, an element of realism has to kick in. And there has to be an examination of people who are in most need. It is not a bottomless pit, but I hope it can be done with compassion and, with good old-fashioned Christian charity and courtesy as well. But it is becoming increasingly evident that Ireland, no more than any other Western European country, cannot accept limitless chunks of the world's misery, because we won't be able to help them or provide them with the facilities that they would be entitled to, apart from anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, John, on the international front, dominating things in the Dáil to an extent this week, the triple lock looks set to be gone. The Trump-Greenland saga, again, we mentioned this in the context of St. Patrick's Day and the visit to the US, that seems to have pushed this one on, and the feeling we need to get out from under the UN barrier to peacekeeping. But will there be much of a fight over this one? And between this and the residential tenancies bill, the rental changes coming in, are we in for a couple of tough battles in the Dáil over the next few weeks on these issues?
And it will be, at very least, Gerry, it's going to be very noisy. The triple lock thing, the idea that the UN Security Council should have an effective veto on where Irish peacekeepers can go, And there hasn't been a new peacekeeping mission for a UN peacekeeping mission for 10 years. We're returning from Lebanon, a place that was very valuable training ground, apart if you look at it in a very narrow and selfish way, for the Irish Defence Forces over the years since the late 1970s. I can't see why the UN barrier to peacekeeping should not be changed. But there are those who say, well, this is a slippery slope, this is the sellout. We have said, you and I have said many times in this slot, that we need far more to be spent on defence, especially the Navy. We are, after all, an island with ginormous ocean around us. We have all the undersea cables. The EU presidency is going to put a spotlight on our lack of ability to defend ourselves and defend all of the various EU leaders who will be coming to this country for meetings. So, change has to come. And to me, the triple lock thing is a small thing, but it will be very noisy. And there will be people saying, there you are, this is the start of it now. We're all going to be marched off to war before long.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, the relationship with the US in focus, calls from the opposition, as we mentioned in the interview with Taoiseach as well, about don't go there. I mean, horrendous, horrific scenes played out on the streets of Minneapolis over the last week or so. The Trump administration seems to be in full retreat in relation to that at the moment. When you add that together with the tariffs and the volatility and the who knows what's next from the US administration, the St. Patrick's Day trip. Now, the argument from the Taoiseach in the Dáil this week and again this morning is, look, it's much more important than that. It's not about who's in the White House, not about the board of Shamrock. Yeah. We need to maintain connections and work on our relationships. That's the point.
To me, absolutely. And to many, many people, and there are tens of thousands of Irish jobs at stake here in our economic and social and political relationship with the USA, and indeed tens of thousands of US jobs by Irish investors on the other side of the pond. And absolutely, Taoiseach's argument self-evident. There was a point last week when Trump was on his high horse about Greenland that there would have been doubt, that there was very serious doubt about the Taoiseach going to the White House, legitimate doubt, because if he's effectively going to go to war with another EU nation, well, you know, that probably rules out the effort to attend. But the Taoiseach's main point, look, it's the office, it's precedent, it's the man, objectionable though he may be, not the Taoiseach's words, mine, objectionable though President Trump may be, he's elected by the American people, therefore he is the president, it's the office, etc. To me, absolutely, you know, no argument there whatsoever. I think...
Is there even, John, a possible argument? And if you've seen it again... Yeah, sorry, John. It is there an argument even that we've seen this week in relation to his changed stance on Minnesota? Even the reporting around that has suggested that, you know, one of his traits that's coming to the fore is that he pays attention to what's on TV. He also seems to take what the last person he spoke to on board. So if you get a chance to talk to him, if he's thinking of Ireland, it's worth being in the room and talking to him, because the next time Ireland comes up for him, he'll remember what Micheál Martin said, and that's the kind of the last thing he'll take on board, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So
it's worth being there from that point of view. I absolutely take that, and I think, if you don't, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're not there, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, so I mean, to me, these arguments are self-evident, and trying to say we shouldn't be there, to me, is just quite simply baba stuff.
I know. Final brief point, John.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
I know, I was just going to say Norma Foley will be in Italy and the Holy See. Patrick O'Donovan from West Limerick is going to the Deep South, Atlanta and Savannah. And of course, Michael Healy-Rae, Finland, Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania. So he'll see a lot of Christmas trees up there, I'd say, as Minister for Forestry.
He will. I don't know if Michael Healy will be worried about polls. Final point, Donald Trump is trashing every poll that comes out in America now because it has them all badly underwater. But what do you make of the poll at the weekend? And are Fianna Fáil, would Micheál Martin be concerned about that 13%? Or are we far enough away from an election?
He has made a career of bucking the polls, and fair play to him. He says polls have not been an indicator of how Fianna Fáil would do in an election. However, and we're a long way from elections. I mean, probably our next election could well be locals and Europeans in 2029, followed by Dáil elections. Who knows what may happen in the interim? But that is among the lowest of the low ever for Fianna Fáil, below the carnage that they experienced in 2011. When they were reduced to just 20 TDs. So I think while Micheál will certainly keep whistling past the graveyard on that one, I think it is a matter of great worry for many within Fianna Fáil.
Okay, John, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks for talking to us again this week. John Downing with the call from the Dáil.